Lord God, may we hear your voice and turn when you call, leaving everything to follow you, our Creator, Redeemer, and Sustainer. Amen. He emerged from the metro at the Lafond Plaza station and positioned himself against a wall beside a trash basket, wearing jeans, a long t-shirt, and a Washington Nationals baseball cap. He removed the violin from its case and threw in a few dollars and pocket change to prime the pump. It was rush hour on a Friday morning in January. Over the next 43 minutes, more than 1,000 people passed as the violinist played 6 classical pieces. 1,000 people, policy analysts, project managers, budget officers, specialists, facilitators, consultants, each busily making their way to work, each confronted by a choice many of us also face when we encounter a street performer. Do you stop and listen? Do you look away, feeling somewhat guilty, and hurry past, annoyed by the demand on your time and your wallet? Or do you throw in a buck just to be polite? Or do you stop? Do you have time to notice the unexpected beauty among us? Many of you might remember this story from 2007, a social experiment engineered by the Washington Post. Hardly anyone noticed when the world-renowned violinist Joshua Bell played some of the most beautiful and moving music ever written on one of the most valuable violins ever made. Hardly anyone noticed that day. Some $32 were dropped in a case that ordinarily held a $3 million violin. This morning, we heard 2 call stories, one from Exodus, when Moses notices the bush that burned but was not consumed, and the other from the Gospel of Luke, when an itinerant rabbi asks Simon to borrow his boat as crowds of people pressed upon him. Both people, Moses and Simon, were going about their ordinary business, Moses tending sheep and Simon fishing. Well, and on this night, without catching any fish. In each instance, God came to the people in their ordinary lives and invited them to a new enterprise. Who knows for how long that bush had been burning before Moses noticed it? Simon, James, and John could have declined Jesus' offer to come and follow him. Simon had fished all night without success and was cleaning his nets. He was likely exhausted and ready for sleep. He had reason to say no. What if Simon had refused? Indeed, Simon's first response was protest. Master, we have worked all night but caught nothing. But Moses and Simon did notice and did respond. Each of them turned from the lives they had known and turned toward God and God's purposes. Turn. Turn is the first of 7 practices that we are exploring here at St. Patrick's as part of the Way of Love series in Epiphany. Turn, learn, pray, worship, bless, go, rest. These 7 practices are a commitment to following Jesus, the one who gives life and the one who frees us from that which keeps us and our neighbors from flourishing. Turn, the first practice. It's the practice we focus on today. The first moment of turning in a sacramental life of a Christian is baptism. This might not be so obvious for us today. We baptize babies wearing long white gowns, parade them around the sanctuary, and eat cake. certainly all appropriate for welcoming a new member into the community. But these practices miss the radical nature of baptism and what it means to turn toward Christ. For early Christians, baptism demanded dramatic changes, changes that would jeopardize your very life. You would have to break the law, the Roman law that required sacrifices to Roman gods, an infraction that could result in being arrested, jailed, tortured, and even put to death. You'd lose friends, and maybe your family. Some newly baptized Christians, such as those in the army and teachers, had to give up their jobs. Becoming a Christian in the early centuries after Christ literally meant turning toward a new way of living. And baptismal practices in early Christianity enacted this radical nature of following Jesus, the turning that was required. One pattern described by in the 4th century documents is that catechumens, people who were studying about the Christian faith with the intention of becoming a Christian and a candidate for baptism, began the ritual of baptism facing the west, the direction of the setting sun and the symbolic direction of darkness and evil. Standing barefooted on a hair shirt indicated they desired to die to their life of sin, they renounced Satan and the works of evil three times, professing their desire to give up, virtually die to their old way of life. The catechumens then turned to the east, the direction of the rising sun and the symbolic place of new life, and three times professed their faith in Christ. They then stepped into a pool of water, submersing their entire bodies. This pool of water symbolized a tomb in which their old selves died and their sins were washed away. It also represented a mother's womb out of which a new person was born. Finally, stepping out of the water, they were clothed in a white garment that symbolized their new life in Christ. In fact, the alb that I'm wearing, the alb that the acolytes wear, and the alb that Kurt is wearing, is a reflection of that new life, of that white garment put on as Christians. When we live in a country that does not persecute Christians, crowds do not press eagerly to hear the words of Jesus as they did in the reading of the Gospel of Luke today. Most people today are not ready to leave their livelihood, like Simon Peter, to follow Jesus out into the world, or even in their own neighborhoods. Following Christ in our own time, truly following Christ, is once again a radical choice. It requires turning away from consumerism and towards life-giving relationships marked by wholeness and justice. Like early Christians, we choose to see the world differently than others might. We choose to see a world in which God is actively present, loving all of creation, and yearning for a world in which people act in ways that show they love God, themselves, and one another, and all creation. Instead of a world of random events, we see a world that is part of God's purpose. Instead of a world of unrelated individuals, we see a world of individuals called to be in relationship with God and one another, whose focus of life is God and God's Son, Jesus Christ. Instead of a world with an indifferent creator, we see a creator in love with and intimately concerned with all creation, friends, neighbors, even enemies. Once we choose to follow Jesus, life is never the same. It is forever altered. And this pattern of turning, beginning at our baptism, is not once and done. Turning is a daily choice. Each day, if we dare to notice, Jesus does come in our ordinary work, our families, our coworkers, the checkout clerk in the grocery store, the people we pass on the street, are all vehicles of Jesus' presence, beckoning us to follow him. But because we are human, we fall short of what God intends. We only need to look around us for evidence. Furloughed government workers are lining up at food banks. Children are encaged at our borders. People sleep in tents under highways. Children are bullied in school. Each day we must turn again, committing ourselves to beginning anew, leaving everything and following Jesus. Life in Christ is not about arriving. It is about continuing to begin again and again and again. Just as God came to Moses in the burning bush and to Simon, Peter, James, and John in the person of Jesus, God does come to us in our ordinary lives if we would just notice. And once we notice, we are invited to turn and to follow. We are invited to participate in God's loving purpose by loving our neighbors, especially the unlovable, striving for justice, and respecting the dignity of every human being. At our baptism, we said, yes, we have turned. We have promised to follow Christ with a particular and demanding pattern of life, and we must say yes again and again. I wonder what might happen if we were to truly take on that invitation to turn, to reorient our lives to the love and freedom of Jesus, and to tell the truth about the transforming power of Jesus in our lives, no longer a secret that we keep to ourselves on Sunday mornings, but out in the open, proclaiming it freely in our workplaces and to our neighbors. In 2016, on a Tuesday afternoon, Joshua Bell revisited Union Station near the same metro where he played in 2007. But this time, with fanfare and cameras. And guess what? Hundreds of people crowded to hear the famous violinist. People waited for hours for a good view. In his reflection of the two events, Washington Post writer Gene Weingarten noted that it was the children who most often stopped to hear Joshua Bell before their parents brushed them away in 2007. And it was the children who freely showed their excitement of hearing beautiful music again in 2016. Children notice. Children have a willingness to leave everything behind and follow. They are our leaders for today. They're the ones I hear day in and day out at St. Patrick's with dreams too big to hold and beginning to make action items of how they will indeed follow Jesus in their lives, their very daily lives. So let us become like children and look for the presence of Jesus among us. Let us turn each day toward the one who gives life. This past week, the world lost a wonderful poet with a gift for noticing, Mary Oliver. Mary Oliver's poetry reflected a profound engagement with the world, someone who was like a child and noticed. And I'll end with her instructions for living life. Pay attention. Be astonished. And tell about it. Pay attention. Be astonished. And tell about it. Amen.